Good on you guys. New family connect, and just a wonderful thing. And I, kids just take over, which is good on you, Lockie. And it's going to be a lot of fun and really beneficial for young families. So make sure you sign up for that. And you do all that at the Ask Me desk. Can I just explain what the Ask Me desk is? It's become the new center point for all aspects of information in our church. It used to be the Welcome Me desk, but because of the whole COVID thing, we just needed to find a new space. So it's now the Ask Me desk that you can avail yourself of any information you need in church life. So it's in the foyer. You can use that as a giving station. There's a giving station there with FBOS facilities, and you're able to give in envelopes or FBOS or any other way you'd like to give for that matter at that desk, and gather information about groups and anything that's happening in church world and church life. So make sure you get involved and register there. Did you capture the slide for the I Love My Church Day? Let me park on that one for a moment. I Love My Church Day is just an amazing opportunity for us to come together as a church family and give a few moments of our time to do some practical things around the facility. There's so many things that just need attention from time to time, and we try not to do this very often because we know we're all busy people. So I can't actually remember the last time we've done one of these. So it's been a while since we loved our church. So we're going to love on our church this coming Saturday, 10 a.m. till about 3 p.m. We'll give you lunch. We're going to put on a barbecue. That'll be someone's job to cook the snags and whatever we're having on the day. So we're going to feed you, put something in your belly. But what we'd like you to do is come prepared to do a little bit of work around the place. We're going to have a major cleanup of our facility, and we're just going to make the place sparkle. So we need you. Turn to your neighbor and say, we need you. We need you next Saturday, 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. If you could possibly be here, that would be wonderful. We would appreciate that. Easter's coming up, and for Easter, that's a big weekend always in the life of our church. So Good Friday at 9 a.m., we're here for a one-hour service. That's our commitment to you. We're not here to drag it out and take all day. It's 1 hour, Good Friday, 9 a.m. till 10 a.m. on Good Friday. Then on Sunday, Easter Sunday, for our resurrection service. That's an amazing service, that one. We always have a baptism service on that day. So if you've not been baptized in water, if you haven't taken that next step, after you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior to be baptized, then you can do that over Easter. Once again, go to the Ask Me desk in the foyer. You can register your intention to be baptized. We'll make contact with you and let you know everything you need to make that day happen. And then finally, on the 11th of April, can you save that date? On the 11th of April, we're celebrating our 11th year of ministry here at Impact Church. We were supposed to do it last year. Last year was our 10-year celebration. We had a big deal planned and the world exploded. So it all changed. So this year we're doing it the 11th year. It'll be a bit more low-key, but we're going to celebrate. Because sometimes you just got to party. You just have to party. So we're going to do that. We've got our special guest, our good friends, Pastor Mark and Deanne von Blankensy from Tasmania, will be with us for the day, for the weekend, celebrating together. So make sure you mark that date. Welcome to church. Good to see you today. If you're online, nice to have our online family and community with us today. And just lean in while we take a few moments to share God's word together this morning. There's a few things that we've been talking about over the last few weeks around this whole theme of moving life forward. We started on Vision Sunday talking about the fact that we need to have a habit of facing forward. If you're going to move life forward, you've got to face forward. You can't be looking back all the time and having that kind of posture. You've got to have the posture and the habit of looking forward to the future. Secondly, we looked at turning our setbacks into comebacks. You're going to have a few moments in life when, you know, you kind of get pushed back, when it is a setback and it's a challenge and a difficulty and a hard season, and it's your ability to be really resilient and to bounce back and to move life forward in challenging moments like a pandemic, which is what we're doing now. We're moving life forward, and you know, little hiccups happen from time to time, like's happening right now in the PA hospital. That'll happen from time to time. Don't get spooked by the news. Don't get overly alarmed in that sense, because we're moving life forward. That's what we're doing. So we have a habit of looking forward, and we take our moments of setbacks to result in comebacks. And then finally, last week, we looked at the power of encouragement and just cheering each other on. So can you do me a favour today? Can you cheer on? Can you cheer on today in this room? If you're online today, make sure you're commenting, interacting and engaging with our team. So our theme for 2021 is the same as it was for 2020. It's moving life forward. And we want to do that as a church and as a team. And what we're doing is we're focusing on, in terms of our church community, we're focusing on strengthening our engagement. Strengthening our engagement. You know, it's one thing to come to a church and just attend it. It's a whole new deal to call it home. It's a whole new deal to be comfortable in the house. It's a whole new deal to have a sense of belonging. It's a whole new deal to grow with the family. It's a whole new deal to invest in it. It's a whole new deal to give your life for it. That's a whole new level. There's a lot of people that attend church, and I never just want to be an attender. I don't want to be an attender. I want to make it home. I want to be planted. I want to make it family. I want to move life forward. And so we need to live a life that's driven by our engagement with God, driven by our engagement with each other, and driven by our engagement with the house of God. You know, there is great power in living a forward-looking life. Great power in living that way. And the truth is, God's not planning for any of us to get stuck or to stop momentarily in life and to park up against a circumstance, a situation, or a setback. He's planned for us to push through those moments as individuals and also as a church. Today I want to focus around the thought of alignment today, and I want to talk about being aligned. Aligned with the people of God, aligned with the plan of God, and aligned with a purpose of God. And I want to talk about this because if we're going to be fully devoted followers of Jesus, it requires alignment. It requires, and really this takes all of your life to get this right, to come in alignment with the purposes of God, the plan of God, and the people of God, to lay down our lives. And Jesus said, you need to do that daily. You need to do that daily, to lay down your life for the cause of Jesus Christ and take up your cross and follow him. You know, we're called to follow Jesus. He's not called to follow us. We're called to follow him. We're the followers. We are the followers. He is the leader, the Lord, the director of our lives. Not just the savior of our lives, the leader, the Lord, the director of our lives. And so I was thinking about alignment, and my thought for us is this, is alignment all begins with our heart. It's a heart matter. It's a heart matter, the thought of alignment. The Bible says this, and I haven't got this one on screen because I kind of snuck it in at the last moment. The Bible says this in Proverbs 4:23. It says, above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart, for out of the heart flows all the issues of life. Another translation says the boundaries or the fence post of your life are determined by what the flow of your heart is. So every issue that we have in life, it flows from the heart. And that's why Solomon in his wisdom says, guard your heart, look after it, lead your heart, feed your heart, and make sure your heart is having a posture of facing forward and leaning into the pathway and the journey that God has for us. When we think of alignment, most of us would think of a car and a vehicle, because we've all driven a car where it's been out of alignment. And, you know, you've got to fight to keep the thing on the road because it's wanting to just swerve off the road. And you're holding the steering to fight the car from the direction that it's wanting to go in. And you know, when a car is out of alignment, it wears the tires out quicker, the ride's a bit uncomfortable, a little bit awkward when it's out of alignment. The car is much more efficient when you get it aligned, the wheels aligned, and everything going the way it's supposed to go. So most of us think cars. When I think of alignment, I think chiropractor. The older you get, you learn that you just need a bit of a tune-up with, you know, the different systems of your body. So you find yourself going to more medical appointments and seeing more medical professionals the older you get, just to get a little bit of help. And one of the helps that you need is somebody that can help keep your skeletal form in shape and to help keep you in good posture and to give you a little bit of a crack and a little bit of an adjustment and a little bit of a realignment, a little bit of resetting of your frame. And it's an amazing experience when you first go and you get yourself cracked and all of a sudden your backbone is in line and or your head is put on straight. Look at your neighbor. Just not, they need to go, don't they? Sometimes you just need to go and get it cracked and get a little bit of an adjustment so that we feel good, so that we walk straight, so our frame can function as it's designed to. Here's the thought. If your frame is out of order, it affects every other system in your body. Did you know that? If your frame is out of order, it affects every other system within your body. Your body cannot function unless the skeletal frame, which everything revolves around, is in order. It's the same in our spiritual world. There are things that just cannot function unless we're aligned, unless we have the pathway firmly set and the plan, and we're connected to the people of God and to God Himself above everything else. When you're in alignment, you're healthier. When you're in alignment, you're happier. When you're in alignment, you're more efficient. Here's the truth. When you're not in alignment, it messes with everything. When you're not in alignment, everything's messed. It's all messed. When you're not in alignment, be it spiritual or be it physical, because your systems, naturally and spiritually, just cannot function properly when we're not in alignment. It causes dysfunction. It results in malfunction. As opposed to this thought, when we are in alignment, we are at our best. We are at our best. We are sharp. We are efficient. We are productive. We are resourceful. We are resilient. We feel good about life, and we believe the best is yet to come. We might not have perfect circumstances, but we have a good outlook on life when we're in alignment. So I'm here today to call us into alignment as individuals and also as a church. You know, there's nothing like being in agreement, and there's nothing like being in alignment. There's nothing like being in sync with God, in sync with God's plan, and in sync with God's people. There's nothing like living strife-free in terms of your life. Nothing like living strife-free. There's nothing like living free from offense, and free from unforgiveness. There's nothing like living free in terms of the connections and the relationships and the journey that we have. And so today, my thought is that living in alignment is living engaged. Living engaged with God, with His people, with His church, with His plan, and with His purpose. Every now and then, in terms of alignment, we need an adjustment. And I think God's just looking to adjust some things. We need an adjustment every now and then in the way we do life. Just a little tune-up. Just like your car needs a little tune-up. It doesn't need a tune-up because it's bad. It needs a tune-up because it's used. Did you hear me? It needs a tune-up because it's used. Because of constant use, it needs a tune-up. It's the same with tires. It's the same with your body. It's the same with your spirit. It's the same with your soul. It's because you're using it so much and you're working it so hard, it just needs a tune-up. It just needs a reset. It just needs a realignment. It needs an adjustment. So today I want to look at a story in the Bible that's all revolving around a man who is to become a disciple. He's not a follower of Jesus at the moment we're going to start reading this scripture, but he became a follower of Jesus. Not only did he become a follower, he became a fully devoted follower of Jesus. He became a key voice in the New Testament. He wrote books and epistles and letters to the church because he was used so powerfully of God, because he learned to bring his life into alignment with the plan of God and the purpose of God. So we've got some stuff to learn today from this man. His name is Peter. This is what it says in Luke 5 verse 1. It says, one day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed on him to listen to the word of God. And he noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. So the fishermen had worked all night, they'd done their job, and here they are washing their nets in preparation for the next fishing event that they had. And it says that Jesus got into one of the boats. Note this, the boats didn't belong to him, he just stepped into it. The boat wasn't Jesus's boat, it was somebody else's boat. The boat was empty, they were washing the nets, and Jesus just stepped into the boat. And it says it's the one belonging to Simon, that's Peter, and asked him to put out a little further from the shore. Can you take me out a little bit, away from the crowds? And then it says, and then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. There's a few thoughts that I've got to share with us around this. And the first one begins with this. I want you to understand that on this particular day, when this event happened in the life of Simon Peter, that Simon Peter did not go to work that day planning to host or start a small group. He wasn't thinking that on this day. He was just a fisherman going about his fishing business. He'd finished the work for the night and he was washing his nets, getting ready for the next night. He didn't even know who Jesus was. He wasn't a follower. He wasn't a disciple. But what happened was Jesus stepped into his boat. You know, there comes a day and a time and a moment and an event for every one of us when we don't know God, when we're far away from God, where God just steps into the emptiness of our life and says, I'm here. He just arrives. He steps into our boat, literally. And he comes into our world and he comes into our life and he starts to talk about his plan to be involved with us. That's what was happening on this day with Peter, where Jesus walked in and said, I want your boat. I want your boat. Can I start with this thought? If Jesus asks for it, give it to him. If he asks for it, give it to him, because there's big plans that are about to unfold when God asks for your life. The first thought I've got about alignment is this. Alignment never starts with what is convenient or comfortable for us. It never starts about what is convenient or comfortable for us. It always starts with a call to follow Jesus and to serve him. It always starts with this thought. Jesus called the people in the New Testament to follow him and to serve him. And he does exactly the same today. He doesn't call us just to attend church, to come to a service. He calls us to follow him and to serve him. He calls us to be family, and he calls us to provide a platform so that he can speak to others through our lives. That's what he calls us to be, and that's what he calls us to do. So alignment is being planted in God's house and doing life with the people of God. God wants us to be planted in the house and the family of God. Psalm 92 says, those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. There's something about being a part of the family of God that flourishes our life. Why? Because that's where we belong. When you're where you belong, you flourish. When you are fed, you flourish. In the natural, you flourish. You grow. You develop. You get healthy. That's what happens when you're in the house of God. There's a growing that happens. There's a growth that happens. Literally, this verse means that you should become fat and green. Because it's speaking about like plants and being planted in the ground. You'll be fat and green and productive and resourceful and resilient and flourishing in the house of God when you are planted. You know, trees don't grow unless they're planted. We bought some pot plants yesterday, and these pot plants have to be potted. If they're not potted, they will die. They've grown as much as they can grow in a pot. You know, you can only grow so much in a pot, but in a garden you can flourish. You can only grow so much in a garden, in a pot, but there's a limit to that. And we were never designed to live individually as believers and be in our own little pot. We were designed to be planted in a garden, in a garden where there's others that are different to us. You know, different is good when it comes to family. Differences are good because differences and diversity add strength to our character and our stature and our nature and our expression of who the family of God is. And so we're called to be planted. I want every one of us to know today that sometimes to be planted, to be planted means to we are to be aligned with God and aligned with His people and aligned with the plan that He has for us. And sometimes alignment to come into it just means a little bit of an adjustment to the way we're doing the journey of life. And on this day, Jesus came into Peter's boat and He basically said, Peter, I want your business. I want your boat for the day. I want to take this thing out a little bit deeper so I can use it as a platform to speak the people. In other words, Peter, I want you surrendered to me. You know, when you are planted in God's house, you will be in alignment with God's plan. That's what it means to be aligned and planted. You are aligned with the plan that God has for you and that He has for God's house. You know, on this day that God spoke to Peter, that Jesus spoke to Peter and sat in his boat, Peter had some stuff going on that day. He had some stuff going on. And I know for every one of us, who's got stuff going on? We all have. We got stuff going on. And the fact that you got stuff going on doesn't mean God can't use you and won't use you and doesn't call you. He doesn't kind of think like, well, you're too busy. You're too busy. No, he just comes and he literally sits in our boat and he asks if he can use it. Peter had stuff going on. He said, God, I've been working all night. I've been working all night. He was a working class man. He was working his job, working hard. He says, I've caught nothing. And it can kind of look like and feel like, as you read this story further, that God was overlooking Peter and just wanting to use Peter for his purpose. And sometimes we can feel that God overlooks us and just wants to use us to achieve His purpose. My thought is God never uses or abuses. If God uses, He uses to bless us. He uses to increase us and to maximize our world. But Peter on this day is most likely feeling that. Like God, I've worked all night. You're not going to ask me to do another shift here, are you? You're not going to ask me to come and do whatever. And yet that's exactly what Jesus asked. I want to suggest that alignment never starts with what's convenient or comfortable for us. It never starts with what is convenient or comfortable with us, because the first thing God has to deal with to get us into alignment is to get us away from the me attitude and to move us into the we attitude. Get us out of me church and get us into we church. You know, me church is the church you go to where, you know, oh, well, I didn't really enjoy the singing today. I didn't like the songs we sang today. I didn't enjoy the worship today. And I'm really okay with that comment because I say, well, we weren't actually worshiping you. Like, we're not worshiping people, you know, we're not worshiping individuals here. I'm pretty sure God's happy with it. He's happy with the song. He's happy with the worship. He's happy with the presence. And we need to understand, if you make it about you, it's so small. It's so small to make it about me as an individual. When we make it about we think broader. We think bigger. We think expansively when we make it about we. And that's the kind of alignment that we need to take. In the next verse, in verse 4, it says, when he had finished speaking, when Jesus had finished doing his preach, he said to Peter, Simon Peter, now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Now remember, Peter had fished all night. That's when you caught fish. You don't catch fish in the day. Not over there. You catch them at night. And yet Jesus is telling Peter to do something that's unreasonable here. And so Peter says, Master, we worked hard all last night. We didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time it says, their nets were so full of fish that they began to tear. You know, alignment is about keeping arguments and strife out of your life. It's about keeping arguments and strife out of your life. Peter, for a moment here, had a moment where argument was starting to come into his head. We've worked hard all night, Jesus. Don't ask me to do this. Don't ask me to go out there and catch fish when there's no fish there. I've already done it. He's starting to build this argument within his head. I've done it all night. I've caught nothing. And you want me to go out there? He's starting to develop this narrative of argument against Jesus. Have you ever had an argument? You ever argued in your head to yourself or argued with people? Can I explain something about humanness for all of us? We are going to have arguments. Wherever you have people and groups and clusters of people that come together, whether it's in a relationship, I know when you first come together and you fall in love, you think you're never going to have an argument. Can I just say to everyone that intends to fall in love, you will argue. You will have differences of opinion. You will hit moments when it's challenging and difficult. Homes will, families will, relationships will, groups will, churches will, businesses will, every workplace will. Why? Because we're human. We're human. And an argument is someone fighting for the me attitude. It's fighting for the protection of me, the me attitude. That's why we'll always have it. And that's why we're going to deal with this me thing every single day in every connection and relationship that we have. Because we're diverse, because we're different. We have different preferences. We have different personalities. We have different experiences and expectations around our world. And so we see things differently. That's why we have arguments. You know, in church world, there are arguments that develop from time to time. In church family, like every other family, people find that hard to believe that Christians argue. But Christians are some of the most argumentative people I've ever met. They really are, particularly now that we have the internet and every blogger is out there blogging about every opinion they have or pet theology that they have. And there's so many petty arguments around Christendom. There always has been. There always will be. Can I give you a hint? Just stay out of it. Stay out of the pettiness. Stay out of the shallowness of those arguments. If we're going to move forward as individuals, and if the church across this world is going to move forward, we've got to come out of argument. And come out of strife and come into unity and come into alignment. Because what arguments do is they distract. They distract and they de-energize. They deflate. They discourage. They dispose of purpose. Because people lose the plot when they get into arguments. They lose sense of what's rational, what's reasonable when you get into an argument. Because when you get into an argument, you run by emotion. You're run by emotion. And when emotion runs out of control, there's just drama everywhere. And that's a pattern that many people develop. And even in their journey with God, their journey with church world, we need to lose the argument and lose the strife. Because if we don't, what happens is we lose momentum. We lose momentum when we get into argument and we get into strife. You know, if we want to live in alignment with God, then you can't live in argument and strife. Paul says this to Timothy, an up-and-coming preacher who he discipled. He calls him my spiritual son. This is the advice he gave him about church. He said, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments because you know they produce quarrels. What you've got to do is be able to identify what is stupid and what is foolish and call it for what it is. That's stupid. That's foolish. And I'm not going to have anything to do with it because all it's going to result in is a fight. It's just going to result in turmoil. It's going to result in me being distracted. And so Paul says to Timothy, don't have anything to do with the foolish and stupid arguments that come around your world, because they will hold you back, Timothy. They will keep you small, Timothy. They will distract you from the plan and the purpose and the people of God. So here's some thought I have wrapped around that for every one of us in the way that we do the journey together. Understand this about arguments and strife. What they do is they hold us captive. They hold us captive to that moment. You can't move on until that argument and that strife is dealt with. So don't be drawn into conflict, don't be drawn into arguments, and don't be drawn into debates. I have people not here. The people that come here are not argumentative. They're not opinionated. Not at all. So it's not a trouble I have here. But, you know, as a pastor, I have people that write to me all the time on emails, and I don't even know who they are. I don't know who they are. I don't know where they go to church. I don't know what their experience is. And yet, for some reason, they think I have an interest in explaining to them what I believe. And like I have to explain what I believe. And my comment first to anyone that ever writes to me is, who are you? Who are you? Why are you not talking to your own pastor? And I've had them turn up at the door here and want to sort out my theology and want to know what I believe about end times. And I just look at them like, who cares? Who cares? Who even are you? I don't have to explain to you what I believe. I don't have to explain to you. What is theology anyway? Let me ask you that question. What is theology? Technically, it's a study of God. But you know what theology is? It's simply a frame that man has made to help us understand God. But the problem with theology is it's according to the way you view it. It's not according to the way God set it. It's according to the way we view it. So everyone's got their own little perspective and their own little theology. It's a useless and stupid argument. It is a useless and stupid argument. And that's the warning that Paul gives. You know, in response to those kinds of requests that I get as pastor, my attitude is, I just don't have the time. I don't have the time for an argument. I don't have the time for a debate. And I love a debate. And I love an argument. I have an argumentative personality. Wow, that lights my fire. Give me a little bit of theology to go you with and I'm going to shoot it. I'm going to come out with a sword because I love that naturally. That's me, because I get into the theology of it and I have a grasp on that. And so when someone comes from outside and wants to attack me on that, I'm ready to go there. But it's like the Holy Spirit says it's useless. It's just stupid. It's dumb. Don't give that your time and attention. Why do I not give it my time and attention? Because those two things are unrenewable. Once I've given them away, and I can never get them back. I'd rather spend my time and attention on things that are productive. So leave the strife alone. Leave the arguments alone. It's just not worth it. Jesus didn't die for flawless theology. He died for people that are flawed. That's what he died for. He died for people that are broken. He died for people that were sinners. He died for the lost. He died for the world. The Bible doesn't say, for God so loved his theology that he sent Jesus into the world. It says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son into the world. So don't get caught up in the debate. Now, theology is important when it comes to the basics about God and understanding who God is and understanding how God works and how to receive salvation and how to make Jesus the Lord and the director and the leader of your life. It's important to understand how to get free in life. So those aspects of theology are really important. But in terms of end times, Jesus can do whatever he wants. He can do whatever he wants, because I'm probably not going to be here. And I'm not God. And neither is my wife. And you heard her say it this morning. Did everyone hear her say that? I just want it on record. It's now recorded. It's all over the world. My wife is not God. So I shall remind her of that statement. I shall preach that. I should do a series on that, called that. I reckon that would be the best attended day in church. My wife is not God. We'd have every man in the world here signing up for that one. That's a good statement. That was the truest thing you said today on stage. My wife is not God. What a good deal. I better get off this point. Alignment is congruency between God's word and our actions. It's getting it right. It's coming into alignment with the word of God. For Peter, it was this. In verse 5, he said, "Master," Simon replied, "we've worked hard all last night. We didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." In other words, he's saying, look, my opinion, Jesus, is it's a waste of time. My opinion is there's no fish out there. My opinion is I'm a professional fisherman and, like, who are you? But because you say so and I'm sensing something about you, I'm going to give this a go. I'm going to let down my nets again. You know what Peter did? He corrected himself. Autocorrect. Got to love it, don't you? Don't you hate autocorrect on text messages? And who's ever said the wrong thing because of autocorrect? Yeah. And autocorrect is a dangerous thing when it comes to those platforms. But, you know, when it comes to your heart, it's a real good deal to autocorrect and to self-correct. And Peter here went into self-correct mode and he aligned himself and he said, well, I think this, but because you say so, I'm going to do it. You've got to know who's following and who's leading. And if you get those two mixed up, you're going to be going the wrong way or you're going nowhere fast. We're called to be the followers, and Jesus, God, is the leader and the director and the Lord of our life. So Peter pulls himself up at this moment and aligns himself with the word of God. You know, alignment is acting on God's word. And if you don't act on God's word, you're just an actor. If you don't act on God's word, you're just an actor. Something powerful happens when we align with God's word, when we get congruency going, a little bit of obedience going, a little bit of submission going. That's an old-fashioned word that hurts the heart. Submission. Everyone say it? Submission. Do you know what you do in a submarine? You go under. Do you know what you do in submission? You go under. You come under. A submarine goes under the water. A submissive life comes under the leadership and the lordship and the directorship of Jesus Christ in every way. Because you say so, Lord, I'll follow. I don't fully get it, but I'm just going to follow because I know who you are. I know who you are. You're my Savior. You're my Lord. You're my leader. You're the director of my life. Having a because you say so attitude and posture in the way that you follow God is living under the directorship of Jesus. It's living under the will of God, the word of God, and it's aligning ourselves in every way and putting God first. And that's exactly what we're designed to do. Alignment, lastly, is living in a place of supernatural provision. I want you to look at what happened when Peter aligned himself and he corrected himself and he said, well, Jesus, I've worked hard. I've already done my job. We caught nothing. But because you say so, I'm going to do exactly what you've said to do. Look at the result of when they aligned and came into a posture of obedience. It says, and this time, everyone say this time. You know, sometimes you just got to have another go. Sometimes you just got to have another go. And sometimes you just got to have a go and do exactly what Jesus told us to do. And it says, and this time their nets were so full of fish that the nets began to tear. In other words, the obedience, the step of submission, the step of lordship, the step of following and aligning with the word of God, the will of God, and with God himself, it resulted in a net-breaking harvest for Peter, this fisherman who had worked so hard, so diligently, and caught nothing at all. You know, a few adjustments can result in boom in your life. Everyone say boom? Boom. You know, the sonic boom. It's a supernatural boom that comes after we come into alignment. I love the feel when you take your car in and you get it tuned and everything's aligned in the engine, in the soul, in the heartbeat of the vehicle. It's like boom when it's all powered. And it's the same for a human being. We come into a supernatural zone of our connection and relationship with God. When we live aligned, everything starts to work smoother. Everything starts to work better, be more productive, more resourceful, and more resilient. So sometimes it's just a little adjustment. It's just a little tweak. It's just a little tune-up, a little reset. Sometimes it's not a massive rebuild. It's just a little thing. It's just a little thing. What little things do you need to adjust? What little things do you need to change? What little things do you need to say, because you say so, I will? Because you say so, I will. I will do it. Maybe it's planting yourself in God's house. If you're not planted in a local church, I want to invite you to consider just planting yourself right here. That's what I'd like to ask you to do. If you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ and asked Him to become the Lord of your life, I want to invite you to do that and make a decision to be planted in the house of God. And I want to invite you to do what God tells us to do. Consistently engage with it. That means be committed to gatherings. Be committed to gathering together. Be committed to connecting and building community together. Maybe you need to join a connect group. Not just do church Sunday, but to consider the other days how you do your church journey. If the only time you think of your relationship with God and His Word and His people and His plan and His path is on Sunday, then you need to get a bigger boat. Because that is such a small way to do the journey with Jesus, to just think of it as a Sunday event that happens. Maybe it's serving on a team is your alignment that needs to happen. Maybe it's serving on a team. Maybe it's finding your place. I think there's something about giving of yourself that helps us feel connection and community and engagement and that sense of value, because I'm helping other people. Maybe it's helping in a food co-op. Maybe it's helping people in terms of what we do through there, through that ministry. Maybe it's a little bit of time you can give to that. You might be driving a truck or driving a van, picking up food, stacking shelves. I'm not sure where your part is, but I know you need to find it. So to help you in that process, on our webpage, if you go to our webpage, you'll find a section on there called Next Steps. What we've done is we put our growth track to help people belong, believe, become and build. The four steps of our values are on there in little courses, little classes. They go for about half an hour. It's a video you can watch at any time you want to watch it. There's also a PDF booklet that you can download that you can keep, which works along with each of the videos. And it teaches us how to be church, how to be family. It teaches us how to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus and the habits that we need to put in place. It also teaches us about our personality, our passion and our spiritual gifts. And then lastly, it talks about the different teams that we have in church life and how we can each one make a difference, and we're called each one to play a part and make a difference. You can find all of that on our webpage under the Next Steps section, and you can do it at your leisure rather than us conducting a class here at church. You can do it any time you like. You can do it over and over again. You can point it to your friends that you want to share about church world and church life, so they get a window of who we are and what church looks like. Maybe your alignment is to start giving, as Cheryl talked about before, and start tithing and honoring God financially. There are some people just need to get over the argument about giving in church and money and tithing in church, and have a because you say so I will attitude when it comes to that area of your life also. That's an important area for establishing and keeping the lordship of Jesus working over our lives and governing our lives and putting God first. The Bible speaks very strongly about that. Maybe it's forgiving someone. Maybe it's forgiving someone. Maybe it's letting someone live again after they've offended against you, and having the right attitude in dealing with the arguments that happen in life. Would you stand with me right across the hall today? If you're online, would you just very intentionally lean in right now at this moment? Maybe your life is just one little adjustment from a whole better flow. From a whole better flow. Maybe it's just a little bit clogged up at the moment, and just a little bit of a clean out, a little bit of a spring clean, a little bit of a reset with some habits, some postures, some practices, some limiting beliefs that might be around your world right now. It can make a world of difference. A world of difference in terms of how efficiently and effectively your life comes together and your life operates. you know, there's a lot of things that you can pray about, but if you're not going to have the attitude of, because you say so, I will, then it's just not going to happen. This whole journey with Jesus is a journey of surrender. It's a journey of surrender every single day. And it's amazing what can happen from one single act of obedience, where we obey big and God could do amazingly supernatural things. Cheryl mentioned the name of God before when she was talking about the offering, Jehovah Jireh. What happens is it releases an amazing supernatural flow. For Peter, it was a net full of fish. It was just what he needed because he was bankrupt from the night before. He'd worked all night and caught nothing. Probably wasn't the first night he'd done that. My closing thought is God knows where you're empty. He knows where you're empty. He knows where it's not working. He knows what you need. He knows what you lack. He knows what areas of life are not functioning as they should. And the God I know is a God that comes and he sits in that. And he just makes himself present and he makes himself known. And literally he does it because what he's doing by his presence is this, is he's saying, I'm here with you. If you want to listen to me, I can take you to a place of provision and abundance because I'm Jehovah Jireh. That's who I am. You're starving at the moment. You're empty at the moment. You're broken at the moment. You're struggling at the moment. You're hurting at the moment. You're lost at the moment. But if you're prepared to listen to me, if you're prepared to do what I ask you to do, I can take you from emptiness to fullness. I can take you from ashes to beauty. I can take you from mourning to joy. I can make it beautiful is what I can. If you listen, if you listen, that is called alignment. Alignment. Psalm 133, it says, behold how good and perfect and pleasant it is when the brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. When we dwell there, it's like God coming and just pouring in his anointing, pouring in his presence. And it says this, it closes with this thought that I want to close with today. That place of unity, that place of congruency, that place of alignment is where God commands the blessing. Can you imagine a place where God commands the blessing? Not just where God offers the blessing, but where God literally commands it to be blessed. Commands it to be blessed. There are some areas of our life that we just need God to command it blessed. Command it blessed. But God will not and cannot command it to be blessed unless it's aligned. If it's aligned, he commands it. I want to ask God to command some things right now over our lives. Where there's emptiness, where there's brokenness, where there's shallowness, where there's struggle, where there's strife, where there's barrenness, whatever it is, where there's arguments, where there's strife. Let our response be, because you say so, I will. And when we say so, not only do we, he does too. Because when God comes to sit in your boat, he doesn't come to use you. He actually comes to bless you. When he first sits there, you might feel like he's taking something from you. This is what people feel when they start giving financially in church and tithing in church. They feel like, God, why do you want to take from me? And it's such a human perspective. God's perspective is, I'm not taking anything from you. I'm actually trying to get something to you. Something to you. But I can't bring what I need to bring to you until you come under and you submit and you surrender. I want to pray for people today that just need God to come into those places of life right now that need to come into alignment where God can command the blessing, who will respond and say, God, I will. I will because you say so. Because you say so, I'm going to give up my opinion on it. I'm going to give up my argument about it. I'm going to do it and I'm going to come under your will for this space in my life. I want you to lift up your hand right across the hall. Lift up your hand right across the hall. If you're on TV, just reach out right now as we pray. we ask God to come and just move into these spaces of our lives. Father, we pray today that you would come, that you would move, that you would speak, that you would invade, that you would permeate, that you would come into the hearts and lives of every individual here, every individual on screen today, who's online church today. Father, that you would come and that you would speak and you would literally sit in our boat, which is your way of saying, I'm here to help, I'm here to bless, I'm here to redeem, I'm here to restore, I'm here to reset, I'm here to realign. Father, to realign places of our lives, parts of our life that are out of order, that are out of alignment today, to bring your blessing and to bring your favor. Because you say so, we will. And when we do that, Father, you will. Jehovah Jireh, come and be the blessed one. Come and bring blessing and favor and goodness to my friends and to my family and to everyone, Lord, that is prepared to say so today, to say so, to say what you say, to do what you say, and to respond to you that way. We bring our hearts and our minds and our lives into alignment with you today, because you're the one that sets us free. Father, I pray today, great blessing, great favor over our worlds, over our lives, in Jesus' name, as we come into alignment with you. Move life forward in 2021. That's our prayer. Move it forward in 2021. We will face forward. We will move forward. We will think forward. We will talk forward. We will live forward. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Come on, church. Let's sing this beautiful song of worship and lean our hearts in for a few moments as we celebrate Jesus today and everything he is and everything he does. Come on.